ladies and gentlemen, from the world's most beautiful city, San Francisco, California, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by Route 66 Moving and Storage and the WBO.
Bring it.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in history.
Yeah, let's start building some hurting bombs.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am the reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves, folks. And, of course, we are broadcasting live as I speak, also on Facebook.com/Ring Talk. Then you go to the Ustream live video. You can watch the live video of the show as I speak right now. It's 11 a.m., of course, 11.05 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday morning. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're each and every Saturday on the same time on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and the Armed Services Network. Well, lots of things to talk about tonight. Of course, Saul Alvarez fighting on HBO. There's another HBO fight in Cincinnati, Ohio. I went and saw Bobby Slayton last night in San Jose, California. Of course, he's one of my favorite comics. And you hear his little puns here and there on the show. So I had a great time with Bobby last night and good company as well. But it's been a wild weekend. Of course, this is Thanksgiving. Just had my birthday on Thursday, and that was the same day as Thanksgiving. So that was sort of a little – it's always a little weird. Every 4 years – I was born on Thanksgiving. So every 4 years my birthday is on Thanksgiving. That's a little bit weird. But today – I will bring you Socrates Palmer, the great writer from BoxingTalk.com. We'll talk with some boxing with him. We'll do some MMA. And then we'll bring in an unusual guest. And I say unusual because we haven't had a woman on in a long time. I'm talking about female boxer Heidi Holm. She's rocking next Saturday in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That's Tower of Power bringing you to the break, folks. Guess what? We all ought to be having fun. Take care.
Shot, Bob. I think you're on.
I just followed your lead.
Hey, by the way, did you break ground on your new building?
No way. I'm holding off until I see what the future holds.
So you're seeing a fortune teller or
you
something?
Know what I mean. Things look a little uncertain.
The only thing certain in business is if you're not growing, you're losing. And we just opened our fifth facility last week. If you're following my lead, you'll call General Steel. Their pre-engineered steel buildings could save you as much as half the cost compared to conventional buildings. And they're up in nearly half the time, and back with a 50-year structural warranty.
Yeah, but steel buildings...
Hey, you've seen my building. Does it look like steel?
No, it looks great.
Ask about rebates that could save you up to $20,000. Look, you can stop paying rent and own a building that suits your business better and probably saves you money by operating more efficiently. In times like these, don't stop spending. Just spend wisely.
Call 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
If you are in any trouble with the IRS, this message is for you. If the IRS is garnishing your wages, sending threatening letters, placed liens on your personal property, you still have rights. Ameristar Tax Centers wants to give you free information and a free consultation to show you how to save the maximum amount of money. Our expert team of tax professionals goes to work right away to negotiate the lowest payment possible. We'll represent you before the IRS or state taxing authority. Our results speak for themselves. So call us today for a free, no obligation, one-on-one consultation.
Be careful. The IRS can coerce you into paying more than you actually owe.
Ameristar is a certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know how to get you maximum relief.
So call for free information now.
800-583-1974. 800-583-1974. Help is here. Call 800-583-1974.
If long-term unmanageable debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, get ready for a toll-free number that will change your life. Trinity Debt Management has been helping people just like you cut their interest rates by as much as 60% and increase their credit scores by up to 200 points. In fact, they have a proven program that has worked for thousands. If you're ready to consolidate your bills into one manageable monthly payment and pay off your debt, then call for a free, no-obligation analysis. Trinity's certified counselors will explain the entire program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. To cut your interest rates and help your credit score, call Trinity today at 800-899-0615. That's 800-899-0615. Get a fresh start. Call for free information now. 800-899-0615. 800-899-0615.
And you know who never gets a death penalty? Are crazy people and mentally ill people. Anybody who's got a problem, like a Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember that guy? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Dahmer was eating a lot of people. And they never gave him the death penalty because he was ruled insane. What a surprise. But if a guy's crazy, that's the defense in America. He doesn't know what he did. He cannot be held responsible for his actions. Well, if he doesn't know what he did, then he doesn't know we're going to kill him. The guy's that crazy, you put the guy in the electric chair, we'll tell him it's a ride.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on and crush this guy's skull.
The tune is called A Little Knowledge is a Dangerous Thing. Well, my next guest has a lot of knowledge in the world of boxing, folks, and he is a former school teacher in New York City. Now he's doing some other things. Mr. Socrates Palmer, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the wishes. And I got plenty of them on Facebook. I want to thank the people that did the same thing on Facebook. You got this Facebook thing where you're friends, and they, you know, got like 1,300 friends, and like 80 of them just send you birthday wishes. So what about the other 1,200? Anyway, I'm not going to go there. But you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm having a good time today. I'm in the studios here in San Francisco, California. Of course, Socrates is in the Big Apple, New York City. Tonight, we have Saul Alvarez, 38 and Zippo, to draw on 28 KOs, taking on, Kermit Cintron. Is Kermit the Frog? Is Kermit the Hermit? And what is he? 33-4-1, 28 KOs. The guy's lost two of his last three fights. Why is he on HBO, and why is he in a title fight? And isn't this exactly what's wrong with boxing?
I totally agree with you. Kermit Cintron has always been kind of like a little bit of an enigma. I mean, you look at him, he looks like $1 million, you know, but he just doesn't have, I think, he just doesn't have the heart or the will to, like, be, you know, to be competitive in a big fight. Like, he doesn't bring it. I mean, he brought some heat when he fought Paul Williams the last time, and that ended so ridiculously with both of them, you know, flying out of the ring, looking like a WWE match. But why is Cintron on TV against Alvarez? Because he's probably seen as someone that would either, A, quit somewhere around the fifth or sixth round, or someone that Alvarez could look extremely good against.
Okay,
so since Molina, Carlos Molina, actually, I think, should be the one in the main event.
Okay.
He's the one that gave it to Kermit the other day, like eight rounds to two or something like that.
You brought up the WWE. I want to mention the fact that, you know, The Rock was in Dwayne Johnson, a kid that I knew him as a kid. His father, Rocky really? Johnson, was married to Peter Maiva's daughter. Peter Maiva was a Samoan wrestler that wrestled a lot out of San Francisco. In fact, I believe he lived here in the Bay Area. And Rocky Johnson lived here in the Bay Area for a while. And Rocky was Dwayne's father. So I'd see Dwayne or Rock, The Rock, whatever you want to call him, as a kid, like 7, 8 years old, you see him out of the Cow Palace. I used to really trip on this because now he's The Rock. So that's why I'm tripping. But anyway, he tore the house down in Madison Square Garden, for that last Survivor Series. You got to give him some props. The guy comes out of retirement, whether it's acting or not, whether he comes out in sports entertainment, but he comes out of retirement, hasn't done anything since 2004, like 7 years ago. He's 39 years old. And he does well, and he looks well, and he brings the house down, and he sets, you know, all kinds of numbers as far as the house attendance was concerned. And, of course, he boosted the pay-per-view buys by a couple hundred thousand buys. Was there much news about him doing that thing in New York City or what?
No, I know a lot of guys are marking out. I really have fallen out of the loop with the WWE, but I saw a couple of friends that were there, and on Facebook they were taking pictures, and he packed the house.
So. He packed the house. All right, changing subjects, going back to boxing here. Adrian Boner is handled by, all right, no, I'm sorry, isn't that his name?
Is it Broner? Or?
Broner? Boner? Broner? Okay, I messed up a little bit there. That was a Freudian slip. I apologize, Adrian. I apologize to your parents, okay? But, he's got Al Heyman running his business, doing his business for him, negotiating with HBO and this and that, and as his agent, his manager, whatever, representative. Is Al Heyman a cancer to boxing?
I don't know if he's a cancer to boxing, but if
he's a tumor.
Like he might put the H in HBO, isn't he? Isn't that why HBO is the Heyman boxing?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, the H in HBO. But, the bottom line is, he's... And you're African-American, so I'll be real blunt with you. He's African-American. Kerry Davis is African-American. He seems to have the inside track at HBO. Kerry Davis is calling the shots. It looks like a little racial nepotism to me because I think there's so many deserving fighters out there that deserve the space on HBO. And Adrian Boner's hanging on Vicente Rodriguez tonight. I was looking at Vicente up in the computer. He's ranked like number 98 in the world. And Boner's 21-0, 17 zips. Rodriguez 34-2-1, 19 KOs. So I wouldn't imagine that Vicente is going to put up all that much of a fight because Al Heyman really doesn't get his guys in fights per se. So that's why I think he's a malignant tumor in boxing. I do think he's a cancer.
I think obviously. Well, I don't think you have to think too hard. They're just following the same blueprint that they did with Berto. And Broner will look spectacular against these slow, very beatable opponents. He's fighting in Cincinnati, which should be interesting. I mean,
that's where he's from, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I want to see how many people actually go out and buy tickets. And the economy is like, I think they're like at 14% unemployment. But
Socrates, and you're a knowledgeable man. That 14% and the 12% they say we got out here in California, things like that, those numbers are full of smack. You know that. It's more like 30-35% because. For every job that comes available, there are thousands and thousands of people applying for each job. So I think that those jobless rates and the unemployment rate, I think it's all fiction.
You're probably right.
I know, but they don't count the people that have stopped looking for work or their unemployment's run out. They're only counting the people on unemployment benefits right now.
That's so true, right?
And in the world's, it's pretty sad. I was watching on TV the other day where China's supposed to have the best economy in the world, and 450 big firms over there have shut down in the last year because Americans are not buying their garbage anymore. They don't have the money.
Wow.
Okay. Back to enough of the economics of the world. We know the world's headed for destruction, financial destruction. But is Boner that good, Broner?
I don't know how good he is. He blew out Jason Litzau, who's really, mediocre level fighter, got a lot of heart, but he was overmatched. I think Broner, I looked at the division. I know there's a Japanese champion who I think might be the best one. I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
He holds one of the belts, but there's really nobody in that weight class, and I guess he'll look good until. He can't make 130 anymore, and then he goes up to 35. That's where, it's tougher competition. You got Brandon Rios, who I think is a real badass and would probably eat Broner for lunch. But, they're following the same pattern that they did with Berto. It's nice to look good against stiffs, but when they step him up, he'll probably get exposed.
But I'll go back to this thing with Heyman being the house promoter or the house manager or the house agent at HBO. I mean, there are so many talented fighters out there and around the world, and there's so few HBO dates. I mean, can't the corporate giant that HBO is, Time Warner, can't they see the incestuous relationship between Kerry Davis and Al Heyman? I mean, are they that stupid? Is corporate America that dumb?
I really wish I was smart enough to answer that question thoroughly, but it seems that you probably have to check.
You think he has pictures? You think he has pictures of Kerry Davis with a hooker or something?
Who knows?
Because Kerry Davis, I'm just and all kidding aside, Kerry Davis has the most beautiful wife, and I think probably one of the most beautiful women in the entire world. She is a stunning, stunning woman. So. But still, guys go see hookers. But straight up though.
So how long will Terry Davis be there though?
Because he's been there 10, 11 years now since Ludabella left. He took Ludabella's job. And now I believe
isn't Hirschman gonna take over soon?
Yeah, Hirschman's supposed to take over, but you know, they say that, you know, because they fired Seth Abraham's handpicked guy, Ross Greenberg, and you know, that was a little bit of a trip how they told Ludabella he'd never get the CEO job because Seth was gonna stay on for another decade. So if he wanted, you know, if he was going to move up in the company, that's what they told him. Then he announces the fact he's leaving and he's going to go promote boxing and do his minor league baseball thing. And then 2 weeks later, Seth Abraham announces he's resigning, going to Madison Square Garden, and that Ross Greenberg will take over. So that was a little bit. I thought that whole thing was hokey and suspicious and reeked of favoritism and all that kind of good stuff. But you know, HBO doesn't seem to be. How can I put this? They wonder why their numbers are dropping, and yet they keep putting this talent, this crap, unproven right. talent. Yeah, crap. Okay, thank That's you for putting
crap.
It that way.
Crap.
Yeah.
It's crap. You know, actually, it's funny. It just rang a bell. Adrian Broner, after his fight with Litzau, had thanked his manager, and he said Shelley Finkel. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, well, but Shelley Finkel, and these guys still have to go through Heyman, I think, to get the HBO dates.
I hope after the fight he thanks the right guy.
Okay, Manny Pacquiao, is he waiting for his contract with Top Rank to run out before he signs with Floyd Mayweather? Because, you know, I mean, all props. I made him man of the year because, you know, he is a congressman and he is working to help the poor people over in the Philippines. And all of his shortcomings aside, and we've all got faults and defects and things like that. The fact that he didn't want to take the drug tests and the fact he's fought three stiffs and he fought Marquez and got beat and got the decision. Did you think he beat Marquez?
I am in the minority. I think he did beat Marquez. I thought Marquez, you know, I saw the fight about five times. Last week it was on HBO constant rotation on all the different HBO ones, two, you know, whatever, West Coast.
Yeah.
And I just thought Marquez, there were rounds that he left on the table that he could have done more.
Okay.
You know, I just.
But you don't, but here's what's up with Socrates. Being a former fighter and former boxer myself, I think Hector Martinez, my good friend and the Golden Glove champion that he is, a two-time Golden Glove champion, the best amateur in Northern California for a long time, he put it right. You don't fight a fighter. And Manny Pacquiao is a fighter. He's not a boxer, per se. And I think Floyd Mayweather would have him for lunch. Not only that, I'll say it again. I'll go out on – I mean, I've been saying this for months that Floyd Mayweather – I mean, Manny Pacquiao couldn't hit Floyd Mayweather in the butt with a ping pong paddle. Now I'm extending that. I'm saying it's a tennis racket.
You know what? As you know, styles make fights. And you can't say that A beat B, so therefore...
No, I understand that. But you know, but when you look at the natural abilities, the defense, the ring generalship, I think the ring generalship alone that Juan Manuel Marquez showed over Manny Pacquiao and the fact that he counterpunched him to death, I thought that seeing, especially at the age of 38, they waited 3 years for him to get old. You know, there's just... The whole Manny Pacquiao thing, I think, is almost a facade.
You think it's a little bit of a fraud?
Well, I'm not saying he's a bit of a fraud. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, look who he's fought in his last four fights. He fights a 38-year-old man, and he almost, you know, in the opinion of most people, I know Fright News did a poll that night of the fight, that 24 hours within the fight, and a majority of the people thought that Marquez had won. And I think it was like 58, I think we're... It was 58% thought he won, 33% thought Manny won, and then 10% were unsure whether he won. Something like, I don't know where the numbers are there, but something like that. But the bottom line is, you know, an overwhelming amount of people that watched that fight thought that Juan Manuel Marquez won, except for the HBO cheerleaders. Speaking of that, last question for you. Are these guys...
Manny Stewart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is true. That, you know, the first time I really heard Manny Stewart be a little biased, and I was actually surprised. You know, I was surprised that...
What, did he was cheerleading?
And Letterman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was waving the pom-poms.
Okay, good enough. Socrates Palmer, all the best. What's new at BoxingTalk.com? Anything?
I did a story on Josh Clotty the other day, who was making his comeback. And I know you're a big fan of Clotty.
Oh, man.
Comma, aloha.
Yeah, aloha, baby. Talk to you soon.
All right, Pete.
All right, the great Socrates Palmer of BoxingTalk.com. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Next up, our MMA segment right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and the Armed Forces Network.
I love the way that you walk, the way that you talk. Really knocks me out, girl, the clothes that you wear.
Would you serve your family water that's loaded with prescription drugs and pesticides? Over 53 million Americans are drinking water with contaminants that are tested to be above the federal health guidelines. Call Aquasana Water today and speak with one of our water specialists, and we'll give you a free analysis of the drinking water in your area. Call right now. 800-608-5769. 800-608-5769. Our filter systems are certified to reduce contaminants and leave in the minerals for crisp, clean, and healthy water for you and your family. We want to help clean up the water supply in your area one home at a time. So call us right now, speak with a water specialist, and get a free analysis of the drinking water in your area. Call right now.
800-608-5769. 800-608-5769. 800-608-5769.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I get really frustrated with my computer. Now, what do you do when you get frustrated by your computer? Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks here for My Computer Works. Now, whether you have a simple question or it's a major computer crisis, My Computer Works can help. Now, when you have a problem with your computer, you simply pick up the phone, call their friendly technicians, and they connect directly to your computer and fix the problem for you. It's immediate, it's safe, it's secure, and it doesn't require anyone coming into your home. There's no problem or question too small. My Computer Works is your personal computer help desk. And only $24.95 a month. You can call them when you need them.
Call My Computer Works right now at 1-800-574-3017. That's 1-800-574-3017. Again, it's toll free at 1-800-574-3017.
Hey, My Computer Works. Does yours?
Do you think a career in the sports industry would be your dream job, but you're not sure how to break in? From prospective students looking to earn a degree in the field, to entry-level positions, to seasoned top-level executives in the industry, NextStepAthletics.com has all you will ever need to be successful. Whether you're a high school student looking for a university that offers a sports management curriculum, or maybe a college student looking for that great summer internship opportunity, we're the place to go. You see, Next Step Athletics is the only all-in-one resource for the sports industry. Become a member for free today and take advantage of all NextStepAthletics.com has to offer. We're hosting the only one-stop shop for all levels of sports professionals, from sports-specific jobs, education, networking, events, message boards, and much, much more. We have it all at NextStepAthletics.com. You see, the only way to stay one step ahead in the sports industry is to take the next step, and that's with NextStepAthletics.com.
Expressionless. Tim Sylvia says again, I have nothing to lose. It's finally here. The Affliction people give it to us. Fedor Emelianenko on U.S. soil fighting the former UFC heavyweight champ. It's Tim Sylvia.
This is the kind of fight you live for right here.
Yeah, this is for the WAMA heavyweight belt. Big John. Oh, nice. Sean Bresser.
Randy Couture had Tim Sylvia, but he's got the
advantage. He tapped out. He tapped out. 36 seconds.
That is one.
Fedor Emelianenko. You want to know why? He is the greatest fighter on the planet today. That is why. Tim Sylvia shaking his head in disbelief.
Speaking of Fedor, he is no more. Speaking of the UFC, of course, they did get this. 9,566,000 homes. For their Fox debut, of course, that was the 12th, same day as the Manny Pacquiao-Juan Manuel Marquez fight. And they did this on Fox TV, and the fight sort of sucked because it only went like a minute and 4 seconds. And they did all this hype, didn't have anything to fill afterwards except Dana White and interviews and that kind of good stuff. So I don't think they were prepared for their first Fox event, as much like they weren't prepared for their first pay-per-view event. I think it was back in 2001, 2002, something like that. But I believe Tito Ortiz against Vladimir somebody was the main event, and they ran out of TV time. The satellite just went dead, like at 10 o'clock or something like that. So whatever it was, they didn't buy enough time, and they had to issue refunds, things like that. And of course, the UFC got off to a bad start financially, losing $33 million. Now they're a billion-dollar industry. That's right, they're worth $1 billion. By 9,566,000 people watched that fight on Fox TV, and I tried to tell you it was going to break records. I mean, when's the last time you ever heard of a boxing match doing 10 million people on TV? Huh? It ain't happened in a long time. Speaking of fights, probably the greatest fight I think I've ever seen as far as nail biters and things like that is, can he make it? Can he survive? Can he last the five rounds? Talking about Dan Henderson's victory, his unanimous nod last week over Mauricio Shogun Rua. We were down in San Jose for this UFC 139. Mark Ratner was in town, of course, the former athletic commission director for the state of Nevada and now the in charge of government affairs and things like that, working with various commissions for the UFC. So I got to see him, and it was just an amazing night. I have never, ever seen a fight like that. And it was like this. It was Dan Henderson won the first three rounds, hands down. And I thought it was a three-round fight. But the UFC said, no, it's a main event, so we're going to make all our main events five-round fights like we do our title fights. So he went in the fourth and the fifth round, and Henderson was gassed. I mean, he was done. He was fighting a bigger guy, and a guy that came down from 240, 245 to make 205. Dan Henderson walks around probably about 205, 200 pounds. So it's not that he has to cut any weight. He's at the weight. If you're talking about 205 pounds, this is a guy that formerly fought it at lighter weights. So Henderson's gassed after three, and he's kicking the snot out of Mauricio Shogun Rua. You've got to watch this UFC 139 replay. I think they're showing it on pay-per-view, but eventually Fox is going to show it. And I think that's, if you want to stick around and wait for it, go for it then. But the bottom line is, it was the greatest MMA fight I thought I've ever seen. And for the last 10 minutes of the fight, you were wondering, could Dan Henderson survive? Both myself and Paul Calloway, who I went to the fights with down in San Jose last week, were sitting here like nail biting. Is he going to make it? Can he finish? Can he finish? Can he finish? It was the most, like I say, the most give and take, back and forth, brutal UFC match I've ever seen. It was the thriller in Manila as far as the MMA and the world of the UFC. I mean, it was the greatest fight, I think, that Joe Rogan said it was the greatest fight he's ever called. And I think they're pretty right, pretty correct on that one. You know, I mean, you got to give it to both these guys, because there's no dog in most of these guys. No dog in most fighters. A lot of boxers, you know, if they're journeymen or even if they're MMA journeymen, we call them jobbers in the wrestling industry. That means guys that are sort of come in and you expect them to lose, or they will lose, or they're going to lose. They're, you know, even jobbers in the world of MMA, you know, Stephen Bonner was thought to be almost like a job for Kyle Kingsbury, our guest on the show and one of our UFC experts, of course. And Kyle lost a unanimous nod to him, 30-27 across the board. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. I mean, Stephen Bonner's like 34 years old, and Kyle's 29 in his prime, and he just had nothing. He never got on track. He never got going in the fight at all. So, you know, in the world of UFC and MMA, Stephen Bonner was thought to be, you know, a journeyman, a guy that was going to come in, he was going to put up a good fight, but he was probably going to lose. Well, guess what? Didn't happen that way for King Kyle Kingsbury. Speaking of another guy that had a bad night, he's from San Jose as well, Kung Lee, showed up with a gut, sort of looked like me. I mean, he had a gut. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he even got in the ring looking that fat. But he did, and he was fine for like the first minute and a half of the fight. And he got stopped in the second round. But the bottom line is he was quick at first, and his nice spinning kicks, back fists, things like that. Stuff that he used to do back when he was a Strikeforce 170-pound champion, looking good. Or 180, was when he was 170. And anyway, but now, you know, fighting at 185 pounds, he just didn't have it. He fought Wanderlei Silva. Wanderlei Silva's had a lot of losses in his recent years. I mean, really, he peaked in the Pride fighting championships that was in Japan. That was like 8 or 9 years ago. That's when he did his peaking. So he was way past his peak. Kung Lee comes in. Kung Lee is the star down there in San Jose. He used to have, I remember when he would draw 8,000 or 9,000 Vietnamese people alone to the fight. There would be Vietnamese flags waving all over the place. I mean, you thought you were in Don King's office waving the American flag. This was the Vietnamese flag. Okay, but the bottom line is, They didn't show up for Kung this time. I saw one Vietnamese flag in the entire arena. I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. Only saw one Vietnamese fan. What am I trying to tell you? They gave up on him. Yeah, they saw his gut too. But the bottom line is Kung Lee got his head handed to him by Wanderlei Silva. And then again, one of the greatest UFC cards I think I've ever seen. He got to see it live. I want to thank Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta and Dana White for putting this on in San Jose, California. It was a roaring success. 9,000 paid over $1 million in the bank as far as the live gate was concerned. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and the Armed Forces Network.
Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 877-499-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. 1-877-499-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. 1-877-499-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-499-MYTV. That's 1-877-499-MYTV.
Toyota certified used vehicles are already incredible, but now they're getting even better because each vehicle comes with a 12-month or 12,000-mile comprehensive warranty, 7-year or 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, an 8-year or 100,000-mile factory hybrid battery warranty, and 1 year of roadside assistance. Get 2.9% APR financing for 60 months with $1,792 per $1,000 borrowed on any Toyota certified used vehicle. The best new cars make the best used cars.
Comprehensive and roadside warranty from Data Certified. Certified purchase. See certified warranty supplement for warranty details. Powertrain warranty, whichever comes first from original date of first use when sold as new. Financing available through Toyota Financial Services for qualified buyers only. Hybrid related components are covered for 8 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first from original date of first use when sold as new. The HV battery may have longer coverage under emissions warranty. See owner's warranty information booklet for details. Offers vary by region. See participating dealer for details. Offers end 10/31/11.
Win NFL tickets with Toyota Techs for Ticks. Text Packers to 515-462-0888. You can see the Packers and the Bears in Green Bay.
The American boxer Clay here, certainly in control of the bout at the moment, but he does have his bad moments as Cooper comes in with that left hand. Oh, he's only just out of range with this one, just over the top of Clay's crinkly hair. Just seconds left of this fourth round, and it's Clay poking out one, two left hands, and then getting a good left hand from Cooper in return. A very solid one there by Cooper into Clay's face. Now Clay tries to come back the left foot, and Clay is down! Cooper has downed him! Oh, a beautiful punch there! And as the bell goes, Clay had just been dropped by a beautiful punch from Cooper.
Skating on thin ice? Holly Holm was supposed to be here. I guess she will be here next week. She's fighting December 2nd. And the reason why I say I guess she'll be here next week is that they had promised me she would call her 35 minutes after the hour. She didn't call, so, you know, I put people out there. Sorry. That's the way Pedro does things. Is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. a paper champion? According to the poll at ringtalk.com, the yeses have the majority, or 74.3% to 25.7%. So Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., yes, a fraud in my mind. Of course, he stopped Peter Manfredo last week, but big deal. So what? I mean, am I supposed to go crazy about this? I'm not. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. couldn't hold his father's jockstrap. He just couldn't, okay? Speaking of Manny Pacquiao, I want to bring that up once again. I did name him the Man of the Year for 2011, not because of the fact that, you know, he's a hypocrite regarding birth control and adultery and, you know, tapping other chicks and all that kind of good stuff. No, no, no. Because he's trying to help the poor people of the Philippines. So, and there are a lot of poor people in the Philippines, so I want to give him his props for that. And I thought about it, who really deserves a Man of the Year honors for the world of boxing? And I thought Manny Pacquiao deserved that. So he put a picture of him on the cover of Time magazine, did an article on him at ringtalk.com. So all of you out there that say I'm gangster slapping Manny all the time, how could I name a Man of the Year if I'm gangster slapping him all the time, okay? You know, and we're pretty fair and balanced because last week, Dominic Verdine, one of our writers at ringtalk.com, he gangster slapped Floyd Mayweather. I mean, it was, God, this was not a good day on the web as far as ringtalk.com was concerned and Floyd Mayweather. I mean, Floyd read that stuff. He must have been infuriated. But the bottom line is people have their opinions, and a lot of people think that Floyd's just a piece of work. When I say a piece of work, you know what I'm talking about. But he's got his attitude. He's got his problems. But still, I think he's the better fighter between him and Manny Pacquiao. I don't think there's much of an even. I really don't. And like I said, Manny Pacquiao couldn't hit him in the butt with a ping pong paddle before. And now I might extend that to a tennis racket because of the fact that, you know, he looked so poorly against Juan Manuel Marquez. And, of course, Floyd Mayweather went on and previously fought Marquez. And this is after Manny Pacquiao had two controversial fights with him. The first one a draw. The second one, a split decision win over Marquez. And I thought that Marquez won that fight. And the majority of astute boxing fans and astute fight fans in general thought that Marquez did win that second fight. And then the third fight, the majority of boxing fans felt that he, outside of the Philippines, and get this, a lot of Filipino people have come to me in the last couple of weeks and said, you know, Pedro, we think he lost to Juan Manuel Marquez, but, you know, he's still our guy and all that kind of good stuff. And I understand that. I really do. I understand that. But, you know, he lost. And they gave him a gift. Okay, Socrates was of the opinion that he won 7-5 and that Juan Manuel Marquez left too many rounds on the table. He's a quote, Mr. Socrates Palmer there. But I don't think so. I thought he did enough to win. And I thought he had enough to win by like 8-4. I had it the other way. So there were three rounds. I didn't see things the same way as Socrates did. But the judges ended up giving it to Manny Pacquiao. And it was a majority decision. One judge had it even. One judge had it 116-112. Glenn Trowbridge had it 8-4 for Manny Pacquiao. He should be arrested for impersonating a judge. He should have his eyesight checked. Okay, they should give him glasses. Send him to an optometrist, or that, or just like I say, arrest him for impersonating a judge. Because there's no way in the world, not even Manny Pacquiao fans would say that he won that fight 8-4. There's no question about it. Okay, did an article this week on the website. Talking about boxing's current status in the United States, of course, boxing is a fantastic sport all around the world. I mean, it's doing great as far as numbers are concerned. But here in the U.S. of A., boxing isn't doing that good. And, you know, it's been 30 years since the late Davy Pearl, the referee out of Las Vegas, Nevada, stopped Thomas Hearns from taking any more punishment from Ray Leonard in September of 1981, of course, in round 14. And the year before that, I take that back, it was the same year that Muhammad Ali lost his final fight to Trevor Burbick. The year before, Roberto Duran beat and then lost to Leonard. And then Larry Holmes bedazzled Jerry Cooney in 1982. And Marvin Hagler warred with Hearns in 1985. And that's when Hector Camacho was probably the best fighter pound for pound in the world. In 1990, Buster Douglas humiliated Mike Tyson, essentially finishing Mike Tyson's career. Mike admitted such. Okay, the next month, Meltzer Taylor came within a whisker of beating Julio Cesar Chavez, okay? So the last decade of the 20th century, I mean, what were we watching? We were watching Oscar De La Hoya was a star. Riddick Bowe was doing okay. Of course, Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield had those wars. They were going back and forth. That was some good stuff. But the bottom line is, you know, Felix Trinidad, Oscar, you know, I don't know. As I said, Oscar was a a superstar. But was he cross-dressing yet? I wonder. You know, Felix Trinidad got by Oscar in a fight tighter than one of those bras that Oscar was wearing in those photos that I put up on the website, ringtalk.com. Yeah, yeah, I broke the story back in 2007. And when I did, Oscar said I was a liar. Said that all these websites were posting the pictures. I think it was only me and TMZ at the time. That the pictures were a fraud. Then, of course, he came out with this interview this past about 3 months ago saying he admitted to everything. And then a couple of weeks ago, this chick sued him for false imprisonment and all this other kind of good stuff. So Oscar, being the piece of work that he was, had these girls bring all kinds of sexual toys over for penetration purposes, and they weren't for penetrating the ladies. And he got dressed up in his girly outfits in the whole nine yards, and he was doing cocaine, and this was in, I think, the Ritz-Carlton, I believe, in New York City. And they went through this ritual that Oscar seems to get off on, his little fetish. And, you know, what can I say? He comes out, the chick sues him. I told you a couple of months ago that when he did this interview that I was suspect of him doing the interview, that he had nothing to gain by coming out and doing the interview unless he was about to either get sued or somebody was going to write a book. Well, A happened. He got sued. And this chick's going to take him for a lot of money. Evidently, the reason why he paid that Serbian stripper, this girl was Russian, the reason why he paid that Serbian stripper in 2007 or 2008 $20 million was he wanted back the underwear that he wore during their sexual escapades. You know, the lady's underwear that he wore, he wanted it back because he didn't want her putting it on eBay or something like that or selling it or, you know, going public with the underwear and the bra and the panties and all that kind of stuff and the fishnet stockings, all this kind of stuff. Exclusively Oscar De La Hoya. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to boxing. Like I said, the last decade of the 20th century wasn't bad. Okay. And then in 2001, I'm walking outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was doing some television back then for Let's Get It On Promotions. It was myself, Mills Lane, and Al Bernstein were the broadcast team. We were the guys that were going to go to CBS television until Mills had a stroke. So that was my last shot at the big time as far as TV was concerned. And that was the last time boxing was on network TV. And now boxing is coming back to network TV with four shows that Russell Peltz will be putting together, I believe, in 2012. Four quarterly shows will be on NBC Sports, now known as Versus. Are going to change over to NBC Sports. But it's not the same as NBC. And it's not. It's not like the same as Fox doing 9,600,000 people with Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos a couple of weeks ago. It is not the same. It just isn't. Okay? And I remember, like I said, back in 2001, Prentice Byrd, he was the vice president, the guy that started Kronk Gym along with Emanuel Stewart back in Detroit, Michigan. So he knows a little bit about boxing. He said that, you know, boxing is dead, Pedro. We're walking through the graveyard as I speak. We're walking through the sport as we once knew it, or the graveyard of the sport as we once knew it. And then Hall of Fame boxing writer Jack Fisk, who I named my daughter Jacqueline Fernandez after, it turns out that that may be the case. You know, boxing may have outlived the great San Francisco Chronicle writer by a decade because he passed in 2006. And I can drag this out and say that the Diego Corrales Jose Luis Castillo fight was a great fight earlier in this century. But, you know, outside of that, boxing doesn't even get mentioned when you talk to a guy that's 20 years old or younger. It just doesn't. Why? You tell me. I have no idea. You know, I mean, why is boxing not catching on with the younger people? Why isn't it? I think Lehman Brewster had it right. Of course, Lehman Brewster, the former WBO heavyweight champion, the man that beat Vladimir Klitschko one time, he said that boxing is sort of like the lady wearing a dress below her knees, and that MMA is the, you know, the miniskirts and the cleavage and things like that. It's sexy. It's young. It's energetic. I went to this event last week, and it was like a rock concert from the start to the finish. I mean, there was always something happening. If there wasn't a fight in the ring, they were showing you something on the screen. And very rarely where there wasn't a fight in the ring. I mean, you got to give those guys props. They get it on, boy. They really all come to fight. There's no doubt about it. And the 9,000 people that paid, the 12,000 people total, and I was a couple of those people that got comps for that, it was a fantastic night, probably the greatest night in the history of the sport. I kid you not. It was that great of a fight. So if you get a chance to UFC 139 again, please do so. But, you know, MMA sort of passed boxing up maybe in 2006. That's what the great Dave Meltzer tells me. And then Jose Suleiman, of course, the president of the World Boxing Council in the early 90s, late 1980s, his idea was to go to 12-round fights in order to entice networks like NBC, CBS, and ABC to stay with boxing because you could fit a 12-round fight into a one-hour show. But then again, you know, the sponsors walked away. But then they came back in the mid-1990s. They came back. And, you know, St. Ides Beer and Budweiser were doing their things, and St. Ides was just getting and doing, they sponsored the Evander Holyfield Mike Tyson bite fight. And, of course, that caused them to walk away from boxing altogether. So they lost a great sponsor there. Bud isn't doing a whole lot anymore. Okay, so, you know, you got to sort of wonder, what happened? What happened there? Why did boxing let this go? Well, the truth of the matter is boxing really didn't let it go because the top 1% are still making money. It's just like the world. It's Occupy, San Francisco, Oakland, New York City, Los Angeles, this and that. You know, these people, the 1% marching against the 99%. Well, I would probably say that less than 1% of the boxers in boxing today make enough money to where they can retire on. Less than 1%. That's just the way it is. So what is the answer? I think the answer is, you know, going back to police athletic leagues across the country, having boxing in the ghetto gyms. You don't have it. You don't, I mean, Gleason's gym in New York City costs $100. $100. And when I was an amateur fighting at Newman's Gym, which is the famed Newman's Gym here on Leavenworth Street in San Francisco, 312 Leavenworth. That was his original site. It was there for like 65, 70 years. And then they moved it down the street, and it was never the same after Billy Newman died. But Billy Newman, he basically, you know, if you didn't have the money, guess what? You were an amateur. You didn't have to pay. It was $10 a month. If you didn't have the $10, you didn't have to pay it. Billy didn't force it on you. He just didn't, okay? And had I been told I had to pay $25 or $30 back in the days when I was 14, 15 years old, would I have been able to come up with the money? Yeah, I was selling newspapers, and so I had a couple of bucks, and I was always working this and that. But the majority of youth here in the United States don't have that kind of money. They don't have $100 a month they can throw just out for gym dues alone. We're not talking about the subway back and forth. We're not talking about taking the bus, mass transit. We're not talking about parking. We're not talking about gas. We're not talking about boxing shoes. We're not talking about hand wraps. We're not talking about gloves or mouthpieces, okay, or a new headgear or anything like that. We're talking about gym dues alone are $100 in New York City at Gleason's Gym. That's the reason why boxing is dying. There is no boxing in the ghetto. Boxing's always been a sport for the downtrodden and the poor, a chance for them to fight their way out of the hood. Okay? It just isn't there anymore. I mean, how are people going to know how to box if there's no boxing gyms in the hood? Out in Hunters Point, Henry Clark, the former heavyweight contender, a man that fought, that sparred Muhammad Ali for the Rumble in the Jungle with George Foreman. Real quick on Henry Clark. He was a California heavyweight champion. He was ranked in the top five, I believe, at one time. But he bought all these ivory canes over in Zaire, Africa, and he thought he was going to bring them back, you know, these ivory canes of these elephant tusks. And he thought he would bring these canes back and make all kinds of money. So he spent his entire purse, or whatever Ali gave him, like $100,000 or something like that, on these so-called ivory canes. It turned out to be some type of cheap plastic. And they all broke on the plane by the time he got back here. So Henry didn't make a dime there. God rest Henry's soul. Of course, he passed away a few years ago. But you want to know why boxing is not happening? If it isn't happening, it's because the poor people, just like the rest of the United States, the 99% versus the 1%, can't make it. They can't pay $100 a month to go to Gleason's Gym. You're tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and the Armed Forces Network.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a price war among the major term life carriers. Consider these possible rates. A man age 60, non-tobacco user, could obtain $250,000 of coverage for as little as $85 a month. And this rate is fixed for the next 10 years. We specialize in policies of $250,000 and above. A man age 60, non-tobacco user, may be able to obtain $250,000 of coverage for as little as $135 a month, and this rate is fixed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. For new or replacement term life insurance, call the Term Lifeline now. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
I'm Scott Carter, CEO of Goldline, and I'm here with Todd Eink,
who, like many of our Gold Line clients, diversify their portfolio with gold and silver. Todd, tell us why you started investing in precious metals.
Well, Scott, I've owned several successful businesses with much of the proceeds vested solely in stock and real estate. I felt the need to search for other means of diversifying my portfolio.
How did you find Goldline?
I researched the marketplace and decided to call Goldline based on its credibility and reputation.
Goldline is a solid company with a 50-year track record of helping clients like Todd.
I have a very broad portfolio of stocks, real estate, and precious metals. With everything I've built professionally, I believe gold offers diversity for me and my family.
Todd's Goldline story is just one of thousands across the country. Call Goldline today and learn how gold can be a part of your future and your family's future.
Call 1-800-278-5077 for your free investor kit. Call 1-800-278-5077. That's 1-800-278-5077.
Smart investors pay attention to contrarian views. Barron's gives investors the perspective they need to anticipate the market's twists and turns and find profitable opportunities along the way. Barron's provides the investing ideas and insights you need to protect and grow your portfolio. It offers in-depth coverage and analysis of sectors and companies, and Barron's columnists cover all the market's action so you'll know what happened and why, and be prepared for what's to come. Barron's delivers strategic thinking and practical ideas to help you make smarter decisions about when, where, and how to invest. And for intraday market analysis, there's Barron's.com, offering powerful investment tools like Stock Screener and Stock Grader. Get 8 weeks of Barron's plus Barron's.com, all for only $19.95. This offer is available to new subscribers in the contiguous U.S. only.
Call now toll-free 800-356-9700. That's 800-356-9700 for Barron's. See what others don't.
You know, I'm knocking out all bums. And I... Wait a second. I'm on the web 24-7. I'm talking about the website, folks, ringtalk.com, your inside look into the world of boxing.
Joe, I know you don't like to talk in a moment like this, but you're getting $2.5 million. Will that make any difference in the way you're going to fight?
Well, it gives me inspiration to do a little more, you know, and go forward a little more, and I feel good about it.
The great Joe Frazier, folks, of course, passed away a couple of weeks ago at the age of 67 from liver cancer. God rest his soul. He wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy. You know, a little broke, a little bitter about Muhammad Ali, but in the end, you know, he's human, and everybody has their faults. So God rest Joe's soul. Folks, of course, we're on the website, ringtalk.com. I want to mention this. We've got some inside scoop on some bare knuckle boxing. Of course, we're going to do that bare knuckle boxing again next year. Talk about Bobby Gunn, of course, the bare knuckle boxing champion. We've got the odds and predictions for Saturday night's boxing cards across the country and around the world. That's at ringtalk.com. As well as, of course, the HBO fights tonight. One card coming from Cincinnati, Ohio with Adrian Broner. And that's one fight. And then let's go to Mexico City and Saul Alvarez and Kermit Citron will be in another fight. I've got two new songs up at the Tower of Power website for you Tower of Power fans. Tower of Power with the sultry Lydia Pence of Cold Blood doing some songs back from 1972. So check it out. You go to the TowerOfPower.com website, go to the message board, and check out Pedro's Song of the Month. That's the latest one for November. Until next week, I want to thank my great producer, Scott Cuddy. He's the man that puts things together here. God rest him. God bless Bobby Slayton last night. He was fantastic. And Ray, we had a great time, and I hope all is well. Until next week, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, and most importantly, remember, I love you. Pedro Fernandez, and I'm out of here.